Fred Film Radio, Transylvania International Film Festival, Romania.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2019 Transylvania International Film Festival, and I'm so pleased to be joined by Gary Lucas. Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Gary Lucas, a guitarist, composer, he's here at Transylvania International Film Festival because he performed his score for this amazing film. It's part of the Chinese golden age of cinematography, and it's called The Goddess. So quite a fascinating experience here at the festival this year. And I just kind of wanted to start off this interview by asking you how you got involved in this project in the first place.
I think it was really, I had a history of doing live film scoring going back to 89. Mainly with horror films,
right?
You know, and then I had a friend, Richard Pena, who was the director programmer for New York Film Festival for many years, and he was a strong advocate of my work. So he suggested this film because he knew I also had a history of doing music from the golden age of Shanghai pop, the 30s and 40s, and funnily enough, this film is set in Shanghai in that era.
Right.
So it seemed natural to combine my love of these great melodious film themes, song themes, and turn them into film themes.
Yeah.
Without the vocals, because I couldn't sing them. I've done, I did a performance early on with the film in New York, and after doing my score with the film, I invited a really great singer, Fefe Yang, who I work with in New York, to sing some of the songs that the film themes derive from.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's kind of combining two passions of mine. One is for film music. I must have composed and developed about 12 scores for silent and a few sound films where there's no music on the soundtrack. I've got a few. I mean, I did one here, 2010, at the Transylvania Film Festival. I did a score for the Spanish language Dracula. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's a curious black and white horror film made in Hollywood at the same time they were doing Dracula with Bela Lugosi. At night, they got in there with an all Latin cast and the same sets and did a version for the Latin audience around the world. And like Dracula, there's no music. They couldn't afford a composer. It was the Depression. Yeah. So I filled in the blanks with guitar music. So that's, anyway, it's one way of saying I've worked a lot with accompanying films,
right,
and also with Chinese music. I must be the only Caucasian guitarist out there that I know of who can play a lot of this music on guitar. Right?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I am curious of how that love started.
Well, okay, I'll tell you, there's a romantic connection.
I like that.
All right, when I mentioned it, but I didn't really go into details in the introduction. When I was a boy, I lived for almost 2 years in Taipei, Taiwan. It's a long story how I got there. Suffice it to say, when I arrived, I was ostensibly working for my father and my uncle and looking after their little import-export business. But I started to hang out in nightclubs and play guitar with Chinese singers and whatnot. But that was me doing, Joni Mitchell songs and stuff they wanted to sing. I got involved and then later married a woman who was from Singapore that I met in that period. She had a cassette of this beautiful Chinese 30s pop from Shanghai. It's unique in the world. I mean, just so you know, Shanghai was always the most cosmopolitan city in China, and it was a free port. You could get in and out without a passport between the wars. And it was a haven for a lot of Europeans fleeing the Nazis and the fascists, communists. They all, many of them escaped to sit out the war in Shanghai. And there were many musicians, jazz musicians. So they found work in nightclubs and studios. And over time, also because of a love of black American jazz, this fusion emerged that took a lot from Western music formats, swing and musical styles and combined it with Chinese instruments and scales. So you get this fascinating hybrid of East and West. I'd never heard anything like it. And when I try and tell people, like, hey, I'm playing Chinese music, a lot of Caucasians or non-Chinese people automatically reject it just from the notion, because they think of Chinese opera, I believe. And for Western ears, that's very noisy. It's like a racket. I mean, I like it.
I like
but
it
it's an acquired taste. Let's put it this way. Whereas this music, if you put it in front of people who had it all, some sense of musicality and liked pop music, I think they'd find beautiful things about it, like with the melodies. And they're very strong and romantic. And they don't sound, you know, hard to resonate with. It sounds very, you know, very pop. So that's how, I mean, anyway, discovering that started me on a, I mean, I got excited. They were like little musical treasures.
Yeah. I discovered that through your score the other night because I wasn't familiar with it.
I mean, look, I've been on a mission to try and tell people about this, but the fact is, there's not many additions outside of like going into Chinatown in big cities, you know, where the Chinese community is. I don't think there's ever been an addition that was aimed at Western ears specifically to educate them, like, wow, listen to this. This is a great, you know, example, which is a shame, because if there was a comprehensively collected and explicated box set of it for Westerners, it might, I don't know if it would catch on like wildfire, but it would, there would be a lot of music lovers, let's say alternative music lovers, people who like world music.
Yeah.
They'd pay attention to it and they'd go like, whoa, how did we miss this? You know, because I thought I knew, I was quite a record collector as a boy and very passionate for other music. But when I heard this, I was like, how did I escape? You know, I mean, this is so fantastic that I missed this in my life. And now it's here. And I told, you know, I was working with Captain Beefheart, Don Van Vliet, at the time. I got him interested in it. He thought it was great. We did some shows where he had it playing on the PA as people walked into the venues.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were like, wow. You know, like, because he always, he had open ears to Chinese influences. Yeah, I can tell you there was one attempt that I didn't much care for. There was an English DJ named Ian Widgery who took some of the 78s and applied beats to them. Tried to, you know, put them in time to disco, dance beats. To me, it was a little bit of a failure. I mean, some people like it, but, you know, and he was trying to sell it under the name Shanghai Lounge.
Oh.
Shanghai Lounge music.
Is that right?
Yeah,
is that
I think that's it? That's what he called it, I believe. That, yeah.
The so, word lounge kind of doesn't sound like it's doing it any justice.
I know. So... I'm kind of a purist. Now, my approach was be faithful to the songs, but figure out a way to play them on the guitar, mainly acoustic, and do it in my American blues style.
Yeah, I
with
heard
a lot
the bit,
of open tunings.
Yeah,
that's a big part of like all my music. I mean,
but you're also using pedals and what? I mean, what's the setup?
I had a volume pedal and I had one delay.
Yeah.
Now, normally, for like the Dracula score, I had about 8 of them, and then there was a period of time when I first started doing these, and I was in general doing these in all my shows. I had 25 boxes. I mean,
how do you keep up with
that? I don't know. It was a, you know, I thought I needed it, and I thought I had to bring it. And you know, after 9/11, the charges to bring overweight, you know, flying around, became exorbitant. So I was like, I can't continue like this. I have to figure out a way to simplify my setup. So then I cut it down to about 8. And I thought I got everything okay, I need. But the older I get, so I was warned by my mom, you know, she said, you're not going to want to do this in your 60s. Like, carry all this shit back and forth to Europe. So she was right. Well, let's put it this way. I do it occasionally. I had 12 shows in the UK a year ago this spring, And I brought it like 8 pedals. Because it was trying to be like a comprehensive overview of my career there. But less is more, let's put it this way.
Less is more.
I think in the long run I've learned that. Sometimes I could probably play that score that you heard without that delay pedal. So really all I had up there was a reverb and a volume pedal and a tuner.
And then you're in a church with the acoustics.
Yeah, so that enhanced the acoustics. Yeah. That was a special added touch I wasn't expecting. But churches are great for acoustics, you know. They're built for it.
Right. Yeah. Let me just ask you a final question, if I can.
That's
I think we're going to have to be brief. Yeah, we're going to have to be very brief. But, like, I just want to know, like, where you're...
I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. I love all this stuff. You know, I love mess, chaos.
Oh, I'm swearing. I don't mean... You could edit
No. I'm not editing it out.
Okay.
Unless you want me to edit it out.
No. It's, you know, let's keep it real.
But just very briefly, I wanted to know about your love or your interest in silent films. I mean, did you have it before?
Well, sure. I was a fan of cinema, but particularly horror films in the silent era.
Right.
I was a big horror buff as a kid growing up. And so the first one that I scored was The Golem, which is kind of a Jewish Frankenstein film. I think they're also treasures, you know, and they're not appreciated like they should be these days. The pace is always slower, of course, than modern life. For most contemporary people, they find them a little bit, you know, glacial. You know, it was a different time, but I think that they were very artful and poetic.
Yeah.
And it's a...
And they're surprisingly contemporary, I like to think.
Many.
We're going to have to go, because otherwise we're going to get in trouble. But it was such a pleasure to talk
with
you.
Pleasure too. Yes.
Thank you very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.